Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Last week I mentioned that as I went away and studied and prepared again for the season, which I do quite often, where I just go into a retreat, shut myself away, just to hear from the Lord. That's why I cannot just bring you what I think or what others want, but what Holy Spirit puts in my heart. And we're going through the book of Corinthians, and I was ready to continue on, but the Spirit of the Lord just placed in me, take the people into a time of understanding worship. And so I felt driven by the Spirit to move from this day and right into the summer in portions of the book of Psalms. And today is the first one that I will start. And the theme that I'm depositing right now is treasures of God's glory in Psalms. Treasures of Psalms. Psalm is a book of treasure. And David, in this psalm that I'm going to read right now, he tells us it should be accompanied by stringed instruments. But I'm going to read this through once, and then Rod is going to help us in a moment. Psalm chapter 8 is where I will begin, and I'll explain to you in a few moments why Psalm chapter 8 first. Here's what the psalmist says, and allow me to read it first. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, your Lord, how majestic, your majestic name fills the earth. Now would you stand with myself and with Rod? And the psalmist says that this series, which you'll hear me describe in a few moments, in fact, this series is called Praise and Hallelujah Songs, and that's the first sector. And the psalmist David, with his harp, would be out on the hillside declaring God's glory through the instrument and with his lips. With the fruit of your lips today, online and in-house, would you read this psalm with me? Psalm chapter 8. Here we go. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything. You made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, how your majestic name fills the earth. Read that last line again with me. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. Psalms, the powerful inspirational book. The book of Psalms is known as the most powerful, inspirational book written for God's children. It is divided into 13 categories. And by most theologians who've studied the writings, its context, and the general themes of this poetic book, they say that this book captures everything, and that is why so many prophets went back to it. That's why the New Testament refers back to it. And so it's divided into 13 sectors. Praise and hallelujah songs, the first sector. There's another sector, thanksgiving songs. Then prayer and petition songs. Then penitent songs. Sacred songs of the history of God. The enthronement of the Lord songs. Liturgical songs for public ceremonies. Trust and devotion songs. Pilgrimage songs, creation songs of understanding, wisdom and instruction songs, messianic royal songs, and imprecatory songs, meaning songs that declare God's judgment. 13 sectors. We begin today's worship through this psalm, Psalm chapter 8, which falls under the praise and hallelujah psalms. And it begins with this verse, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. That's a declaration. That's to set us up to remember who's in charge. So my question today is, are you focused on the majesty of our Lord? Are you focused on the majesty of our Lord? Sometimes we've just been going through the Christian life almost like, you know, it's just another part of our daily routine, like eating or sleeping or taking a bath or going to work, and we forget the God of heaven is not just another human in our daily lifestyle. He is the glorious, holy, majestic Lord. And so worship is a great tool to help us reorient our minds into recognizing the greatness of God. While we recognize the greatness of God, we must acknowledge the frailty of us humans. Who are we? It is only in worshiping the Lord Jesus that we come to a true realization of who we really are and a true reflection of what God has done for us. Why is it so difficult for some people to worship? Because they stop reflecting on what God has done. That's why one songwriter says, when I think about the Lord, how he made me, how he saved me, how he healed me. And when we begin to think about who God is and what God has done for us, there's no way we can say, I don't want to worship. I don't feel like. It's not a feeling. It is an acknowledgement, a realization of who God is and what God has done for us. So this psalm expresses the amazing amount of power that God has given to us humans. He created us for his wonderful purposes, yet he chose to release into us frail humans a free will so we can make our own choices. That is a pivotal moment of our lives, because every day we get to make a free will choice. All other gods will dictate what your choice should be. Some people are killed if they don't make that choice. And God says, no, I still give you free will, and I allowed them to kill me so you could still make your choice. What an amazing God we serve. But he blesses us with a power to accomplish supernatural things as we worship him. And so when we want to move into the fall, into dealing with the rest of Corinthians and talk about the many gifts God has given, without understanding how to worship God, he can't just give us gifts so that we could go and abuse his name, but he gives it to us so we will build up his kingdom, because we understand who he is, that he came, that he's returning, and that he wants all humanity to be saved. So we've got to remember this, friends. Any creator who creates an item creates it only to accomplish the very thing it's created for. all items, all products, all concepts, all commodities are created to fulfill a design. And that design, the Creator has an intention of how it will function. And it does. Now, God created us to fulfill His good pleasure, and we don't. So we actually reject the purpose of our Creator. But Almighty God is the only divine entity that created and then gave free will to the created things, us human beings. What a mighty God we serve. And I want to put a pause here and just throw in this little thought pattern, just this provocative thought, to mention that whenever humanity tries to replicate God and what God has done, they will succeed to a certain point, but then the very thing they create to replicate the intricacies of what God has created, it usually turns to evil. Because free will given to anything by other humans has no capacity to understand or return to obedience. See, our lives as Christians is to keep us obedient to the God of heaven. But you'll notice now, you'll see in movies they'll create a robot and it's created for a reason and then it stops being obedient to the Creator, and at some point instead of being obedient or returning to a form of obedience, it has a sadistic defiance and turns on the Creator and everything else around it. They're just depicting what the Bible is telling us, that no one can create as if they're God the Creator, because when many times what they're creating is being created with a human understanding without the concept and the acknowledgement that there must be obedience to the Creator. And that the Creator should not create for evil, but for good. See, God only creates for good and for His good pleasure. So humans have a capability in them to do evil, but at the core of every heart, there's a conscience that God puts within us, in us humans, and that conscience is to bring us back to the point of being obedient to God. Human power is limited, but God's power is limitless. Human power is limited, but God's power is limited, is limitless. And God can change any heart, even the evilest heart, back to good. That's what this mighty Creator can do. So as we pray over this summer, pray, God, turn that very evil heart that we're seeing or hearing of or knowing or sensing, or just even the way society is turning on itself, turn those evil back to good. Because that's what our Creator does. So this worship psalm is not just that we get blessed. It is to keep us vigilant in mind that we must continuously worship, because worship transforms our hearts. Worship transforms our destiny. Worship takes us from evil thoughts to good thoughts. You can't be worshiping and thinking wickedness. Right? Dark, light and dark cannot dwell together. And verse 2 says, you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies who all oppose you. The Bible says even babies and infants, God has instilled the capacity to understand good from evil. Every person here knows that babies at the youngest age, they have a defiance that can come forth. But at some point, as you begin to curb them, you turn them back towards understanding what is right and what is good. So there's intrinsic in us the ability to want to always go in that direction. And then there's a guidance that we give to children to help them come back in shape. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. Because when we stop training them, then they go down a pathway of disobedience, of hate, of anger, of rage, of all these things that we're seeing. But God created us, even the smallest thing, to accomplish great things by the strength of the Lord. And the psalmist David says, even you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength. When we teach children and infants about the glory of God, when we sing praises over them, when they begin to grow, hearing praise and adoration to God, they begin to grow in the fear of God. What are children not growing with in this day? No fear of God. And because they have no fear of God, they have no fear of leadership. If they have no fear of leadership, they have no fear of rulership. They have no fear of rulership, they have no fear of law. They have no fear of law, they have no fear of evil. And so it all begins by letting them know there's a greater power that is captivated in our hearts that carries us from our own sinful mindset into the glorious obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Intricately woven in this, God can use the smallest and weakest thing to accomplish the greatest thing on earth. In fact, many of you know the story of Moses when he went into Egypt to release the people. When Egypt was at the height of its power and persecuting the children of Israel for over 400 years, keeping them in bondage. Think about this. God did not send a mighty army to outdo the Egyptian army with his horses and chariots. He could have. The Egyptians could have 1,000 chariots and 10,000 horses. God could have sent more. And we see it even in the Old Testament where God wiped out the Assyrian army. But God didn't do that with this time in Moses' life. No. You know what he did? He sent a baby into a Hebrew home. Then he positioned the baby into an Egyptian princess home. Then he took the baby that grew in the Egyptian princess home, who was taught the things of how to navigate and manage society. But that baby had intrinsically in that child a passion, a heart, a zeal, an understanding of God that was given to that child at infancy when that mother would worship God, when that father would worship God, when Jochebed and his wife were worshiping God. Moses from infancy understood the glory of God, that even when he was raised in Egypt, it could not leave him. So worship is not just for us. From infancy, they must come into the glorious worship of the children of God. And that is why we keep appealing, don't miss the worship time. Because if you're not worshiping at home, and you should be worshiping in the car, at home, coming in, so that children grow to understand the deepness of God, the depth of his presence and his power. That's how they'll get to see it. Then verse 3 says, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, I have to ask a question. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? The psalmist is saying, if you want to praise God, look at facts. When you see the moon, did you see the full moon last night? Any of you see it? Who put it there? Who can take it down? He says, when you see that, you've got to declare, oh God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The sun, when it shines in its beauty and its splendor, he says, God, if you could put the sun, one sun in the hemisphere that shines over the entire earth, from sector to sector, in different times and space. God, who are we that we could start demanding of you, do this or I'm not going to serve you? What are we, mere mortals? You even think about us, God? You care for us when we don't even care sometimes about you? So the question is asked today, who do we think we are? Who do we know and confess Christ to be? Because see, if Christ is just your Sunday religion online, Christ is not your Sunday religion. Christ is the Savior whom you have relationship with. We've got to move the mindset. When I think about the Lord, when I ask myself, oh God, who am I? What about this mere mortal that you should think about me? A human, and you care for me. Verse 4, that's what he says. What are mere mortals? You know who you are? Do you know who you are? You're a mere mortal. Do you know what the problem is? Because of our educational status and our new informed knowledge and the amount of degrees we have, we sometimes forget one little detail. Who are we? Say it out. He didn't even say mortals. You know what he said? Mere mortals. Do you know that is the problem of society today? People forget they're mere mortals. Kings and leaders and different, they forget they're what? Mere mortals. Dust they came from, and what? Dust they shall return. We forget in our, give me a word. Huh? In our pomp and pride. Thank you. I can always count on Jillian when none of you can speak up. I said it in staff, Jillian. I said, I can count on Jillian when no one else will help me with a word. That's why I love her. In our pomp and pride, because we have accomplished amongst other humans, we forget that we are just mere mortals. Breath doesn't come because of who we are. It comes because of how he cares for us. In the book, the Septuagint, which is the early translation of the New Testament, it attributes this Psalm 8 to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 and 8, declaring the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to the minds that have a difficulty comprehending God's greatness. So in Hebrews 2, 6 to 8, it goes back. In case some will say, well, that's an Old Testament psalm. Here's what happens. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, who's writing about the majesty of Christ, he says, for in one place the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of a man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. See, until we learn to worship the Lord, there's certain authority he cannot release to us because us mere mortals do not remember who we are. And so the Hebrew writer is quoting Psalm chapter 8. And it's a similar to the declaration in Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 22, the writing of Paul the Apostle. Paul says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So the writer of Psalms, David, he's quoted in Hebrews, and then Ephesians is declaring to us, recognize who we are, because if not, we will begin to look for worship on us rather than worship of the Most High God. But the greatness of this verse is that it shows us too that we are valuable to God and we're valued by God. We're valuable to God and we're valued by God. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? He says, yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. Did you see that? That's why the Bible says what Christ did, we can do greater things. Because even though he made these mere mortals from dust, just mere mortals from dust, even though that's what he did, just spat on some dust, rubbed it together, put it together. He says, I still made you just a little lower than God and crowned you with what? Glory and honor. That doesn't come because of what I've learned from society or I've education or from any educational institution. It comes from understanding the word of God. That glory and that honor comes from knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what I'm placed on earth to accomplish. So why does God care for us the way he does? We're such feeble and frail and easily forgetful humans. Yet in all his majesty and power, He still loves us despite even the wickedness that creeps up in our hearts at times. And it's for these reasons why our praise must be continuous. As for the, if I'm going to look at this psalm properly, I got to remind myself, God, you have angels that worship you 24/7, always declaring glory and honor, power and dominion, majesty unto our Lord Jesus Christ, 24/7. And then God, we mere mortals will go, I don't feel like worshiping today. There are even times online in-house we're like, sing me happy because I don't feel anything. Well, we can't feel because of the external. We feel because of the internal sensing of who God is. When I think about the Lord, when I look at the sun, the moon, when I look at the great dominion he created and say, God, you have put me a little lower than God. If I worship you, I can step into a fullness of your glory and power and see majesty of God declare new things in my own life. God, nobody can teach me how to do that, but Lord, I choose to praise you. Hallelujah. It says in verse 6, God gave us, he says, you gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority. Have you consciously acknowledged the power that God has released to us humans? He says, you have put the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the oceans. So God has delivered into the hands of us humans dominion over the planet, even though humanity, us mere mortals, have corrupted the good that God placed us to rule over. And this is the struggle of society. Many people are asking, why is God allowing that? God has given us free will. And God has established an order. He put us in charge of all of this. He says the fish is subject to you. The animals are subject to you. He says all of this I put under you. In fact, even the atmosphere, the world, the trees, everything. But humanity today has taken God's dominion and they've turned it into destruction. Rather than move into righteousness or right obedience or good rulership over what God has given us on this planet, there's a selfish rulership that causes people to always want to be the one that is a level higher than others. Isn't that what is corrupting society? Everyone wants to be, I'm higher than you and you're lower than me and you're just down here and don't you know, I'm so high. And that spirals right up to the top of our leadership worldwide. And in actuality, human rulers have become abusive and destructive to what God placed on the planet. Their obsession to be more godlike in their pride has caused them to destroy all of God's great creation. Even the weather we're suffering, it's not because God has not put things in order. It's because we have done everything to destroy what God gave us dominion over. We're excited that there's many people, well, maybe not excited, but check this out. We have children that starve in multiple countries around the world, yes? They're starving, right? Dying daily, right? But what's the obsession of humanity? Let's get to the moon. Let's not feed those children. They can die here on Earth, but we must get to the moon. We could put $10 billion to go there, but we can't put $1 million to feed here. God didn't create this. This is an obsession to be godlike. In fact, where is this obsession coming from? They want to reach other planets so that they can say that I can dominate here too. But God already gave us dominion over the earth. We're not even looking after that properly. The ecology has changed not because God changed it, but because humans have been tampering with everything. The mudslides, the landslides, all of these things, many of them are factors of human obsession where we remove everything that God gave us dominion over to create something to make someone super special. Talk to me, church. And young people, I beg of you, get to know the Word of God. Get to read the Psalm. Take this in. Because if you don't learn to worship God, one day you'll be working corporations where you have no conscience and recognizing that things are being done to tear down everything because somebody wants to be godlike. We want to, right now, the obsession is, let's go live on other planets. Why don't we just live good here first? Come on, friends. He gave us, he didn't keep it to himself. He gave us dominion. So David reminds us, each one of us today, of what God has created for his purpose. Why God created it for our blessing. Who he left in charge. And how powerful we can be if we just worship him. Do you know the power that people want to achieve? That power is already given to us. But it's given to us as we worship the Lord. They want to achieve all of this. God's got all that is yours. In fact, Philip, one of God's disciples in the book of Acts, was translated from one place to another to go and speak to an Ethiopian eunuch, and then he disappeared. Elijah was translated from earth into the stratosphere. Moses was taken from Mount Nebo, and nobody knows where his body is. All of these heightened terrestrial level is already in God. So even what they're trying to create, oh, we can do this so that we can get here. We're going to do the God can give us all understanding of that. God can give us all fulfillment of that. But what he gave us, we're not even stewarding well. We're not even stewarding the little God gave us here on earth. I'm a unorthodox, no-nonsense, couldn't-care-less type of a preacher. I'm going to say to you, every Christian, even the little things, such as cleaning up your yard, shows how much you respect God's creation. Do you know how frustrating it is when you see someone's yard that looks like they don't know grass grows? Come on, everybody, be real. Why does it upset us? Because there's a natural order and a natural obedience and a natural care that shows how much we value the beautiful things that God creates. So when God makes the grass grow, he says, I gave you dominion over it. Cut it. Isn't that true? And when we do, doesn't it bring so much more positivity, beauty, joyfulness? So when someone's selfish and like, I don't care about that, it might be your problem, but I don't care, they're actually defying God's natural order. We have animals running everywhere. Everywhere? Everywhere. You know how many have got raccoons that you look out and there they are? Those of you that are worldwide, there's something similar in your nation. But God gave them a space. We took it back, left them no space, and then we're all terrorized. Because God has natural orders. And it's in every sphere of our own lives. But sometimes we only look at the big things or the big problems, but we don't realize the little things matter. Because whatever God gives you dominion over in your sphere, if you don't recognize that, God, you're so awesome. You gave me life. You gave me space. You gave me blessing. You gave me choices. You gave me all this. What am I that you would be mindful of me? The Son of Man, mere mortal, that you would think of me. And so, God, I just have one thing to do. I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to worship you. Do you know, friends, online in-house, the Holy Spirit put in me to teach the church worship through the book of Psalms. It says not just messaging, because here's what's going to change us. It's when everything we look at that God has created brings us to the realization, what a mighty God I serve. When I start thinking like that, I don't have time to strive, to argue, to bicker. The children, you know why David put it in there? It says the children are taught to praise God. How do you teach children? Yes, during vacation Bible camp, we're going to teach them the songs. But that's not how they're going to learn it for their life. They're going to learn it when you are worshiping. And many of you, you love coming in and you sing, and it's glorious. But when you leave here, the Bible says in your mouth is good and evil. And so when you're driving home or when you're at home at the table and the worship turns to evil, you've created a generation. 20 years later, you don't know what happened in their soul at six. Because it is in those formative years where they learn to just glorify God despite the situation. But when we have taught them that I have a right, I'm an adult, I can tear it all down, something shifts in them where they stop seeing how great is our God.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.